Welcome to episode 142 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Dark Knight Strikes Again by Frank Miller. And now, the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to a Slideways episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hello.
And Jen.
Hey.
And this week we read our last issue in our Batman Morrison vs. Miller series. We read Dark Knight Strikes Again by Frank Miller with art by Lynn Varley.
I think Frank Miller did the art.
With color by Lynn Varley.
Right. We want to make sure credit is given to the correct person.
Yes. Which is interesting, because I think she also did the coloring of Dark Knight Returns, and we both talked about how amazing the coloring was in that, so it's relevant. So, this is the last in our 2-versus-2 of the greats in Batman.
This was definitely a comic.
It was a comic indeed. Okay, I want to put this out there, whether or not our listeners believe it. Very few things actually offend me. This was so offensive in every way.
You have something in the notes at the very top of them that I need you to read.
Okay.
So you don't want to save that for the end?
I don't know. I kind of like it.
I'm done with it. It says an open letter to Frank Miller. Dear Frank Miller, I know you like to write comics, and some of them are good, but for the love of God, please stop. Best regards, the literate people of everywhere.
So, did either of you like this, just to start off?
This is so hard. There were some good points. There were definitely good points, but there was so much I thought that was wrong with it.
I mean, I'm going to come right out and say that I think this was fucking insane.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, Spawn insane, or if it's more like Batman Odyssey insane. But I think it's more like Spawn insane, which is maybe. Just not good.
Because Batman Odyssey was, like, fun. Like,
yeah.
Batman's pointing a banana at you and narrating. This is different.
This was, like, on the border of being fun, and then every so often something would get thrown in that just, at least for me, made me say, that character would never, ever, ever, ever do or say that.
Yeah. And, I mean, not just with side characters, with Batman, too. Like, I had known that this was not a comic I liked, and that I thought this was a poor comic. But I completely gave up when at the end, Batman is just sitting there totally cool with it when New Hawkman flies in and smashes Lex Luthor's face in half. I was like, no, there's no way that Batman would just sit back and be totally cool with murder happening right in front of him. Especially because this is only supposed to be like 3 years after. He couldn't bring himself to kill the Joker. Right?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be 3 years after Dark Knight Returns, and in Dark Knight Returns, he's there with the Joker, and he's so close, and he can't. No matter how righteous he knows he would be in doing so, he can't. And just 3 years later, he's perfectly cool with it? This is only supposed to be like 3 years later, right? I'm not like going crazy.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what gets me is that I honestly believe that there's a lot of leeway for writers, because I think every writer has their own, like, little... Like, I try to view comics in a grand continuity, but each writer has their own little universe where their things can happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's best not to get too uptight, but when you work with characters like superheroes, they're archetypes, and they have defining traits, and one of Batman's biggest defining trait, actually, is he does not kill.
Yeah. And it comes up over and over and over in his history, especially with their arch villains. I mean, forget Dark Knight returns. I mean, there's like the, I think, most popular Batman story ever written, Last Laugh. Right? Isn't that, what's the name of the Alan Moore one with Joker?
The Killing Joke?
Killing Joke. Why did I say Last Laugh? That's so random. I don't know. But Killing Joke, right? Like, that's kind of the same thing. It's the whole, would I be right in killing Joker here? Like, he struggles with that the entire time he's going through it. And it's like, it comes up over and over and over and over, but nah, fuck it. He's totally cool with it here. It's no big deal. He was evil, right?
Well, doesn't he even say something to Hawkman about getting your vengeance, too? It's like, sanction, not just, Batman just doesn't turn his, like, you know, turn his head away from it. He straight up tells Hawkman that it's time to get his revenge.
He's like, go have fun, bro. Break that mace out.
Yeah. I think the hardest hitting one for me, though, was Batman and Dick Grayson.
Oh my god.
He tried to decapitate him. Dick Grayson is like a son to him. That would never happen.
He did decapitate him. He just happened to catch the head and put it back on his body and somehow regenerated back.
And then he threw him into the lava, all Lord of the Rings style.
That's exactly the same scene I was thinking of. I'm like, oh my god, Dick Grayson's the One Ring.
Yeah.
Well, and like, okay, you kind of had a hint of this, right? Except in Dark Knight Returns, he keeps mentioning Dick and how, like, their relationship fell out and he feels so bad and all this, that, and the other thing. And the entire time, like, what happened between him and Dick Grayson? What happened? What happened? And so when Dick Grayson shows up dressed as Joker and we get that reveal, I'm like, holy shit, I'm finally going to know what happened. But no, there's no, like, banter that reveals any history or depth of anything. It's just, oh, you're Dick Grayson. Oh, whatever, I can cut off your head. No biggie.
Well, he does say that he was incompetent at some point.
Yeah,
he
fired him, apparently.
Which
is really
completely
bro?
Doesn't make sense when you think about what we learn about. What very little we learn about the end of their relationship in Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he got fired. Because you'd think Batman wouldn't think so fondly of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but you're completely right.
It's like Batman's, like, sure, it's 3 years later, but it's like, he doesn't seem, he's a completely different person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for the sake of argument, you could blame it on the fact that the world has changed so much. But then I think that argument doesn't even work, because Batman has been hiding in a cave for 3 years.
Yeah. And the idea of the world changing so much isn't supported even by the heroes that he resuscitates, because most of the heroes that he brings back were in a similar kind of, like, weird stasis, you know? Like,
yeah.
Barry Allen was just stuck in that hamster wheel for who knows how long. I don't know.
Ray Palmer was in the Petri dish.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. I don't know why Plastic Man had to be an egg. I don't quite understand how that was supposed to have worked. I don't get that, but he was just doing that for who knows how long. Right, so it's like all of these heroes are just plucked out of the stasis, the timeless chamber that they've been in since whenever happened. So it's like we don't get change from them. The only change we get out of them is the new terrible costumes.
Oh, man, yeah.
Well, it was Plastic Man was interesting, but man, Ralph Dibny was just terrible.
Yes.
That's another character where I can't, it's hard for me to fathom that leap, like knowing Ralph Dibny. The lowest point that Ralph Dibny has ever been in comics, other than this, is 52, when he's trying to figure out, you know, the part, his storyline of 52.
He's trying to revive
but
his
even,
wife, which is
even
so
that,
tragic. It's brutal,
yeah.
But it's so well done.
And even in here, he's like some kind of 80s, Wall Street cool guy. I don't even know how to describe him. He's got that terrible earring and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's so crazy, though. Because, like, you know that Ralph's driving factor in life is Sue Dibny. Even after she's dead, he will always respect her memory and love her, and she'll always be, like, the only one for him, right? And... And then this bullshit where he's, like, sexually harassing random people.
It just, it doesn't.
I don't, you know, like, even, everyone was just so different from who they're meant to be. Like, even Flash was, like, kind of darker and grittier. And I don't know if it's Frank Miller trying to claim this, you know, version of the characters as his own and saying, like, you know, this is my story, we're outside of continuity, we're in a different world here. Or if he's just trying to, like, I don't know, ride this trend that he himself started where suddenly everything is darker.
Yeah, and I think it's trying to be, like, a side effect of this crazy fascist world that was created in the absence of these heroes. I think it's trying to just him bending the heroes to fit this world that he wants you to believe so much. The problem is, I don't believe the world, so then I don't believe the heroes.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think, you know, the powers that be have something over each of the heroes, right? I mean, like, they've captured Kandor in Superman, and then Barry says something about how they'll kill Iris, I think.
Yes.
When after they free him. But still, I think, I feel like the heroes, I don't feel like they would fall that far, you know?
I don't think that they would let, like, how would they, I think that's part of the problem, is we never saw this transition happen. So it's so hard to believe that they could catch Barry and then force him to do this, you know? How do you catch a guy that moves at almost the speed of light? I mean, sure, Lex Luthor's superconducting whatever the hell magnet thing for Speed Force. There, done. Deus Ex Machina fixes the problem. But, I mean, okay, so then you remove Flash. Isn't there a whole fucking Justice League? Doesn't he have some bros he can call in to help save his fucking wife? I don't understand how this just happens. And somehow Superman is totally cool with it. Well, he's cool with it because Kandor, I get it, but the guy, I don't know.
No. You know, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you guys feel the same way. They've all kind of abandoned their principles, and they're not gritty, they're sleazy. And that's why it's exactly so unbelievable.
That's the what I was trying to, like, that's the perfect, haven't, I don't know.
That is perfect. The only hero that comes out of this with me liking them is Ray Palmer.
Yeah,
I can't think of a single bad thing to say about Ray Palmer in this. Other than that, he did everything really well, and he was cool. He didn't say anything super douchey, nothing like that.
And he was introduced really well. I loved. At first, I was like, "What's going on? This is so weird." And then it turns out he's like just in a petri dish in a fridge or a freezer or something, and that just. That was such a good way to introduce Captain Atom.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
The Atom.
Oh, the Atom. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I just... Because Captain Atom's a different character.
Yeah, I know.
There's a couple Captain Atoms. And then... But there were also cameos that were brought in that I didn't fully understand where they're coming from. Like, say, Captain Marvel, Shazam. Like, he's... Where has he been? I don't understand...
Yeah, they all just... And Green Arrow didn't seem to be anywhere. He just, like, showed up with his cyborg arm and started arguing with the Question.
Yeah. That's all it was. The only one that made sense to me was Green Lantern. That's the only abandonment and return that made complete sense to me.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know what? This is not... This planet is not my only place where I have to be in the world. And if this planet decides it wants to go into fascist corporatism, okay, whatever. I can't fix that with my power ring. The Owen Guardians say, I can't interfere, whatever. I've got a whole fucking sector I've got to police, so I'm going to get the hell out of here for a little while until everything cools the hell down, and I might be back. And then he gets the call, and he's like, cool, I can come save all of your space problems with one giant hand. Done. Like, that, all, every part of that made perfect sense.
Yeah, he had a job.
Yeah.
But,
and he got a, like, wife. I think it was a wife, I don't know.
It kind of... I feel like the Question was legitimate because he was always working towards his main goal. at least it seemed that way. Like, he has these tapes and he's tracking what the, you know, what the government's doing and how they're hurting people. And he wants to stop them. So it seems like he's been kind of working underground this whole time. And I appreciate that. Yeah. As for, you mentioned Billy Banks earlier in Captain Marvel. I actually, that's one where I was really torn because I feel like it wasn't actually well executed, but it had really good potential. This idea of what happens when they switch, you know, do they actually just switch places or are they the same person? And what happens when one of them dies?
Yeah.
And I love that idea that Billy Banks had actually died years ago.
Batson.
Or Batson. God, I am all wrong with the names tonight.
It's fine. I understand after reading this. Brain kind of goes too much.
Had died years ago. And, you know, it's just this shell of a hero. So, like, that could be really poignant, but it kind of, it fizzled out because of, I think, the circumstances of the fight.
Well, I mean, I even kind of like the way he went out. I don't remember what Wonder Woman said to him. She said some line to him that sounded fucking epic and awesome. And he said Shazam one more time and, like, killed himself and destroyed this whole thing. I don't even remember the details right now, but it was a good scene. And like you're saying, there were great ideas there, but it was just felt kind of like, it felt kind of like he was throwing in the characters to just show you this is what become of them, you know? Like, oh, because somebody might think, what happened to John Jones? Okay, well, here he is. He grew old. You know, what happened to, you know, fucking Captain Marvel? He's more powerful than Superman in numerous instances. Why isn't he doing something? You know, like, I feel like he was just thrown in there so that you could then show that he was also written off as well.
Yeah. And
there was potential, just didn't get actualized.
I feel like we see these alternate dark universes sometimes, and just one that comes to mind was the one in Red Sun, where Batman is actually Soviet.
Yeah.
And it's like, we see all these side characters doing their thing, and it's so dark, but I feel like it's interwoven a lot better, and here, maybe that's the thing, they just kind of appear, they're not, you know, you're not actually left with the mystery of, where did they go, shouldn't they be here, and then they pop up, and you're like, ah, you know, here's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I by the time I was done with this, I was trying to decide which I liked worse, the dialogue writing or the pencil work, and I couldn't decide. So I'll let you guys choose which topic to go to next. You want to do art? Let's do art.
Okay.
There, I just said I'll let you guys decide, and then I made a decision for you. So, like, it starts off bad, but I knew it was bad. I think it was page 15, when you get Carrie Kelly in her terrible, terrible costume. And what'd she call herself? Cat Girl?
Yeah.
Cat Girl.
Yeah. In her terrible costume, and the proportions are just all fucked up. not even terrible Catwoman cover fucked up. Like, you can kind of see there was a reason for it. It's a despicable reason, but there's a reason for Catwoman to be drawn that way on that cover. I understand why it was done that way. It's terrible. I hate them for it, but I understand. I just got nothing. Other than everybody looks fucking terrible.
Okay, I think with some of it, I'm like, oh, it's stylistic, and they just had a really bad 80s character design for the Flash. But
hairy arms.
They keep showing Catgirl's crotch, like a major camel toe, and it's like, stop it, stop it, stop it. I don't know if that stood out at all to you guys, but it really bothered me.
That actually, surprisingly, given it's me, didn't stand out that much.
Yeah, me neither, but I mean, there was a lot of other things to be bothered by, so.
Like, we get, like, this, like, the TV boxes again, kind of. And, like, when you do, like, he did a bunch of those, like, little vignettes. Like, little just one-liners from people, like, the man on the street kind of, like, responses to questions from the news broadcast. And it seems like every single one of those, people's faces were just all fucked up. Some people looked like children, but they were clearly supposed to be adults. Some people, like, had, like, completely displaced jaws. or like eyes that were looking in different directions. I don't know what the fuck was going on with this.
There were some good points with that, though. Like, a thing that I actually really liked was when they had the woman doing news in the nude.
Yes.
You know, to show, like, oh, they're so despicably gross. They do, like, Miller drew these little vignetted panels, almost like we see in, I think, We Three is the last time we encountered this. Just, like, these tiny little square boxes with little tiny details. And they were very, like, sensuous details here, like very full lips and maybe like part of someone's haircut or thigh or some curve on the lady.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
I feel like that conveyed how the news is supposed to be coming across. Like, it's not just that, oh, you know, in the future we don't need clothing. It's supposed to be very degenerate. Like, even watching the news is a sexualized experience. And I thought he conveyed it well with that. So I did enjoy that. It was well, I guess, well laid out.
Yeah. I would give that more credit if I wasn't so offended by the idea that news would exist.
Well, that's a whole nother thing, but...
Well, I mean, there is naked news today, right? You can go out and find it. I think some Russian
really?
Channel does it regularly. Yeah. Huh, I think
okay.
you Google naked news. It will come up, I'm certain.
I'm good without doing that.
I'm sure... No, whatever. I was going to say, I'm sure there's a naked man version, but I don't want to Google that.
No, I'm really good without doing that.
But, like, that's clearly something... That's not mainstream. I think the sense we're supposed to get here is that this is like Channel 3. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just given by like, and I don't know. I was going to say, we're supposed to get this is Channel 3 or like Channel 4, whatever your local primary news channel is. Because he launches a whole rebellion movement off of a fucking concert with the Super Chicks. You know, like, if we're supposed to believe this, then we'll believe that, then we'll believe the other thing, but I don't believe any of it. So it all is just like, what the fuck is going on here?
I mean, I don't know if we wanted to segue away from the art, but I do have a lot to say about the people in general in this comic.
Yeah, sure.
So, a thing that really got me is that I understand this is Frank Miller's really dark, cynical, gritty view of a dystopian government or culture that has a fascist corporatocracy running it. But at the same time, you know, these things don't just happen and everyone goes, yeah, let's go get naked and read the news. It doesn't make any sense how acclimating, like, the population is to this sort of thing. And it's okay to be cynical in your comics because there are bad things in the world and sometimes it's good to draw attention to that. But here, it just makes no sense, because I would like to think that even as bad as people can possibly get, they're not going to be this bad.
Yeah.
And in the notes I wrote, like, even in Idiocracy, they're not this bad. But it's close, but still not this bad. And when you're worse than the characters in Idiocracy, that's a problem.
You know, like, for me, it wasn't the naked news. The naked news, I totally get. Because, like I say, there's something like that I know exists in Russia already. There's probably something like that in half the countries in Europe, just because, you know, that's where all Europeans are. And I know it exists on the internet because, you know, internet. But, like, what got me, and I love that you brought up the Idiocracy thinking, and was the president. And how, like, the first time it happens, everybody's like, oh my god, the president's not real. Oh my god, it's a hologram. Oh god. And then what happens later, the news anchor is just like, oh, got another presidential glitch again. And it's like, no, no, no. Because at least Idiocracy, they had they had an actual person as president.
Like, they even have someone at some point say something along the lines of, he's a great American, describing the president hologram.
Yeah. But at that point, they knew it was a hologram. That was openly stated that it's a hologram. It's like, how can he, what? No, 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 no. It makes no sense, and it's downright offensive.
Yeah, it's just... And it's everyone who's raging, too, because no one, I would like to say, gives a valid opinion in all of those little news blurbs. You know, the talk show hosts are, like, yelling shut up to each other and saying, this is my show. Like, it's like, okay, so that's a parody of some people we see today, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have others who are going and on about, you know, oh, well, it wasn't repressed sexuality this time. It was something else. But, you know, they all have their theories, and it's all really stupid.
Yeah. Like in Dark Knight Returns, maybe you completely disagreed, and maybe the person sounded dumb, but at least they were able to eloquently provide their point, you know?
I think we weren't meant to hate those people as much. And I think Miller wanted us to hate every one of those newscasters and think they were awful. Which, okay, so you made your point, but why would you ever make a piece of media in which you hated all the characters?
Yeah. That's all it comes down to with this, is I hate everybody in this. Not even because they're not portrayed properly. They're just not good people. I have no reason or desire to want to see any of this.
Yeah, and you can hate characters and want to see how it unfolds for them. I mean, that can be really interesting in and of itself, but this, it was really shallow, I felt.
Yeah, there wasn't any meat to it underneath. There was nothing. But I'll tell you what it was really meaty in this, was the dialogue. There are some fucking great one-liners in this. Like, I don't understand. I think this was from one of those boxes. No, who said it? I don't even remember. It was the end of the first issue. The guy says, I'll tell you what's going on. The chickens are coming to roost. No, not the chickens. It's the eagles that are coming, you bastards.
Isn't that Superman who says that?
Is it? I think it was a prominent character. But what the fuck does that mean?
What, you don't get it? I'm just kidding. I don't know either.
I mean, I dare you to try and say that out of context.
Oh.
And come up with a meaning for it.
It wasn't Superman. It was Jim Gordon.
Oh, Jesus. That's even worse.
The only thing that could have made it not as bad as if you had told me it was... what's his name? I'm bad with names right now. Superman's like... Yeah, Jimmy Olsen could have said
like
that.
Like we both knew.
It could have worked.
He was completely, like, cuckoo through the whole comic.
I mean,
the other talking heads recognize Jimmy Olsen as a crazy person.
Yeah.
I think one of them says, wouldn't be a political debate without Jimmy Olsen or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's one that came up later that just plain offended me. When some woman was saying to the camera, nobody's even tried to negotiate with the visitor, talking about Brainiac. We can't be certain it's hostile. That would be a value judgment. Excuse me? Yes, I am from San Francisco. Why do you ask? Why? What's the point of doing that, Frank Miller, other than alienating a giant part of the country?
It's done multiple times.
I think I read that slightly differently from you, and maybe it was my brain trying to apply nice things to the comic. I just took it as San Francisco being on the West Coast and Metropolis being on the East Coast. So San Francisco is removed from the danger. But, I mean, I get where I see where you're coming from.
It just sounds
there were, like at least two other incidents of this happening where it was really clear that Frank Miller hates dirty libs.
Yeah,
yeah. Where that he just thinks there's dirty liberals and all those pansy asses out in the West Coast. That's like.
Well, it's not just liberals because, Green Arrow. That's a small part of his character in main continuity, and it's really brought into the light here. But then I don't understand why he made the question like this, like weird right wing conspiracy type nut. He is a conspiracy.
He's a conspiracy.
In the comics, why is he, I never took him as being like a right wing Tea Party type person.
Because Frank Miller likes him, so damn it, that's what he's gonna be.
It is weird, because you know what's the best part? It's like, he's the one who's actually been doing all of the espionage and looking up what people are doing and holding people accountable. Wouldn't that make him, like, the one who's supposed to be the least likely to believe in conspiracies? Because he has like the actual facts.
Yeah, I think at that point you're applying way too much sense to this.
Yeah, could be.
Well, in the comic, the question, at least the Vic Sage question, not Renee Montoya, is a kind of conspiracy nut.
Yes.
And he's often right in the comics, but the way he, you know, the way he's portrayed is like kind of paranoid and like a loner type person. And that's taken to some weird, not even extreme, just some strange place in this comic.
Yeah.
And it goes from him being that kind of conspiracy person to just a counterpoint to Green Arrow.
Yeah, that's all it is.
But it's the extreme counterpoint. Not even like, because Green Arrow has always been like a liberal character. That's been a huge part of Oliver Queen.
Yeah.
And even to the extreme a little bit. But that's just who he is. So that didn't come as a surprise to me. It was just this weird relationship that Frank Miller created, I think, just to bring that into the forefront.
And you know, it's funny because in the comics, I know that the question, like one of the few people to garner the question's respect, is Green Arrow. Because Green Arrow spent decades fighting crime and blaming the government on why there are so many criminals. And then he is like, you know what I need to do instead of just blaming the government? Fucking run for government and enact some real goddamn change. And he does. And he becomes mayor of the city that he's protector of. And question in continuity, in standard continuity, I'm saying finger quotes, greatly respects him for doing that. Like, yes, it's what you're supposed to do. You don't like the system, use it against itself and go out and change it. That's exactly what you're supposed to do if you believe in any of these conspiracies. If you believe half of what you're saying, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. So it's so weird to see that dynamic just completely turned around. Because they needed a counterpoint?
That's what... I mean, there were tons of, like, air quotes, right-wing talking heads in this comic that Green Arrow could have been paired up against. And instead they make this weird version of the question.
Yeah. It could have even been a number of people that didn't even used to have political affiliations. You could have made fucking Martian Manhunter a right-winger. He has no political affiliation. Who would have cared?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have cared. It wouldn't have mattered any difference in the world to me. But instead he had to pick the one character that did kind of have maybe a slideways kind of... But no, And then, okay, the last one. The most offensive one that I read. Is when Wonder Woman was sitting there thinking about Superman and said, "Where is the hero who threw me to the ground and took me as his rightful prize?"
Because that totally makes sense for both of those characters.
I know. Yes.
Not to mention the fact that it's incredibly offensive.
I mean, aside from the incredible offensiveness of it, and the fact that it sounds like rape culture, she's kind of an Amazonian princess, which is like just the side of a goddess, right? Like, she's basically the woman version of Hercules in the DC universe. In terms of, like, power and respect, and she's basically a god, right? Wow, like, what? No.
I think, to make matters even worse, that line was in the middle of a set of dialogue that started with a description of really rough sex and ended with her being like, "Hey, I'm pregnant."
Yes.
And it's like, no, stop it. And, oh God, I think this is the part, I actually had to get up and walk away from the comic at this point.
Well, she says I'm pregnant again, because it turns out Lana...
Yeah. And it's like, okay, they have a kid, but the way it happened there, and the context, and the way she talked about it beforehand, and then afterwards when Lex Luthor's like, "I see you got him all, you know, warmed up," or whatever, it's just everything about it was so horrible that taken as a whole, it was that was problematic.
Like, I can buy a relationship between Superman and Wonder Woman. It even comes up in Kingdom Come at the end, and it's a happy moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But this is just kind of weird and offensive and, everything we've just talked about.
And I mean, it's the current state of Superman and Wonder Woman in New 52. Like, right now, if you go out and pick up a comic, they're an item. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't like the coyness of the New 52 and, oh my god, Superman, Lois Lane, okay. Like, as much as I am bugged by all that stuff, like, cool, fine, whatever. This is kind of the thing that most comic book readers have been assuming for a long time anyway. You know? Like, everybody just kind of always assumes that those two would be the ones to be together out of anybody in the Justice League, kind of a thing.
Right. Agreed.
So it's perfectly fine. But this, it be portrayed like this? No, this is just wrong.
Both those characters have too much respect for one another and themselves.
Right.
For something like this, for this relationship to go in this direction.
Right. It's against Wonder Woman's character to be thrown to the ground and taken as a prize.
It's against Superman's character to throw anyone to the ground and take, to rape someone. Let's just say that.
Well, I mean, let's assume it's just rough sex. But even then, that's against the all-American image.
You know, I don't think we can assume. Sorry, I'm just...
No, go ahead.
I don't think we can assume it's right, like, even just rough sex, because it's, like, taking someone as a prize. It's this idea that, you know, it almost sounds like he was like, you're mine now, and then raped her, or at least, like, there was some degree of force used, and then the worst part of this is afterwards she's like, oh, I liked that. And it's like, no, that is not a good message to convey, stop it.
And then, you know, it gets more awkward later when their daughter is flying alongside Superman, and Superman says, is there any questions you got for me?
Yeah.
And she says, what about sex? And it's like, never with a human. Humans are too fragile. Like, why is that even in here? This has no point to the story. There's no...
I just had the most, like, horrible connect the dots about why he's not with Lois anymore.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's not brought up in this, is it? Like, why? What happened to Lois Lane? That's not mentioned ever, is it?
I don't want to know.
I think it comes up that she had died. But
yeah, I kind of figure that.
But what? Didn't she die in the attack on Metropolis?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, I think Brainiac killed her, basically. That's the impression I got.
Not like during this comic, though, right?
I thought that was the case, because he seemed really concerned about her at some point, I thought.
Really?
And maybe I kind of put that in there in my head. I don't know. I thought that she got killed during Brainiac's attack.
Huh. I don't remember that. It might be in there, and I just blocked it out. I don't know.
Yeah, I must have missed that part.
It might not have been in there. I don't know. But, like, I'm totally cool with Superman and Wonder Woman being an item. But
it's
I feel like yeah, you have to stick with who the characters are. And, you know, it's not to say, like, there aren't characters where... Okay, I think this dialogue, parts of it are way too extreme and shouldn't be in, like, any comic. But some of the other stuff she says, I'm like, okay, someone else could say that. Maybe Huntress.
Yeah.
Or Black Canary, but not Wonder Woman. It's not who she is. Oh, speaking of Black Canary, what did we think of what was the name of their group?
They were Super musicians. Chicks.
Super Chicks. Oh, actually, no, I have one more offensive line to add to this dialogue parade. So, Batgirl, or no, Bat Chick
yes.
is basically... She seems to be the only one who cares about the social power they have, although I don't know why they have it. And she says something along the lines of, shouldn't we be using our influence to affect change and help people? And she says, like, probably one of the only intelligent things coming out of the bat, the
anybody.
Super Chick's mouths. And it's Black Canary replies by saying, are you menstrual?
Yes. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. What? And it's brought up twice.
Yeah.
It's brought up twice, and it's like, well, what just happened here? I don't even know what that's supposed to... Ugh. Frank Miller needs to stop.
Okay, also, and since we're talking about Black Canary, was that supposed to be Dinah?
I hope not.
I don't think so.
Because at the end, or at the part, the concert, like, Green Arrow, like, dips her and, like, looks like he's going in for a kiss. And so I was wondering if that's supposed to be... And then she's sitting on his shoulders later.
See, that makes perfect sense in my head for his character.
Yeah.
But I'm all, whether or not that's Dinah doesn't matter for him.
Okay.
What just matters is the fishnets, and he's a dirty old bastard now. Which isn't that different from what he was before.
Right. But I don't know. I was wondering if that was supposed to indicate that it was, in fact, Dinah Lance.
I get. I don't know. I get the sense that it wasn't. But okay. I could be entirely wrong. Just like everything else in this. I could be entirely wrong about it, but I doubt it. So... Do we have anything else for this? Are we just going to wrap up and say that it was terrible? I don't know. There were characters, I didn't know who they were until, like, they'd been on the page, like, a dozen times. And then somebody... Like, who is... Lex Luthor is apparently, like, Solomon Grundy now. Like, the way... He looks like Solomon Grundy, I swear to God. And then... So when I see him, I'm like, oh, it's just some brutish thug. And then apparently, no, it's Lex Luthor, who gets a Z on his face.
Because Batman Zorro's him with his cape.
Yeah.
It got me that he was wearing Converse. Just because I always imagine Lex Luthor as being a very, like, slick dresser. And that's actually part of his character to me.
Yeah.
And I love Converse. I wear them all the time, but I'm not slick. And he has to be. So what's happening there?
Yeah, you would not be wearing those if you were the head of a multi-billion-dollar company.
At least not outside of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Lex Corp.
Yeah. Even in Silicon Valley, there aren't a lot of multi-billion-dollar international manufacturing corporations that have somebody wearing sneakers.
That is true.
I mean, maybe Tesla, but Tesla's not big enough for that. Like, it would, like, even this, whatever. The companies that have a CEO that might be like that aren't big enough to be like that. I don't know.
So, yeah, I guess, should we end on my critique of Lex's fashion sense, or is there more to add?
I've got nothing else. There's more things in this. Is there any moment that you guys liked? Any, like, moment of triumph or retribution or something that you guys found satisfying?
Well, the only one I can think of is the Captain Marvel part. And I found... I just turned the page. I was just looking at that.
The line?
Yeah, it's Wonder Woman saying something like... okay, I almost said. Says something... Okay. Doo-doo-doo-doo. I know, great radio. She says, say the word, warrior. Go out with a lion's roar.
That line.
Shazam. Yeah. And that was awesome.
Yeah. That was legitimately really, really cool. See, I would say the scene that I found pretty satisfying was the 10 million lives of Kandor rising up and freeing themselves.
Yeah.
And then this, like, weird, like, Lilliputian thing with the daughter, with Superman's daughter, how, like, she expended herself completely and, like, these little miniature Kryptonians carried her away. Like, that was actually kind of cool and touching and a thing that, like, would only work in this sense that, like, she is of their people, even though they're the people of Kandor from the original Krypton, who the hell knows how long ago. Like, all of this kind of stuff is... That was a cool scene. I really like that. But I think those are the only two that I've got. Did you have one, Jen, that we forgot? Or
Well, I mean, there was a general one where we find out that the Atom is in a Petri dish.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. But there was one that I actually, I guess I love-hated it. Carrie is getting attacked by Dick Grayson dressed as the Joker, and she calls Batman, and she, I think, might be saying something like, you need to go help these other people, or there's no time. But basically, she thinks she's going to die, and she says, I love you. And I thought that was actually really sweet, and it didn't sound creepy this time around.
Yeah.
And it felt like this is the way Batman and his sidekicks need to interact and should, and it's really nice that, and I think Miller might have taken advantage of the fact that it was a female sidekick, so it's like maybe more comfortable for her to say that than it would be for, you know, Tim Drake or Dick Grayson or Jason Todd. At the same time, right after that we see Dick Grayson like hating Batman so horribly in a way that seemed so uncharacteristic that it kind of counteracted it. But I liked how that initial relationship was shown.
Was that like on the pages where there were those 15 little frames?
I think so.
Because those pages, actually, when I got to those, they were kind of cool. I mean, the framing was neat. The way the storytelling was done was neat. It really brought you down to the small level and gave you this like close visceral feeling that really worked well for that scene. I think the framing there was done really well.
Yeah, and it just really illuminated how tragic the whole thing was. I thought she was going to die. Yeah. Like, I really believe that, so it was super sad.
Good. I'm glad we were each able to find something we liked about this. So you want, let's just rate it. This is just going to be a short show. Let's just rate it.
I think you go first, Andy.
I'm going to give this a 0.5. I don't think anybody ever needs to read this. I don't know anybody that I would want to recommend this to, maybe because I don't know enough hardcore right-wing conservatives, but I think even they wouldn't appreciate it. Not really. I also don't know enough misogynists who would appreciate this. Thank God. Really, I don't think this should be read by anyone, ever. So 0.5. And that 0.5 is because of those three good scenes that we just mentioned. I actually think I like Spawn better than this.
Oh, wow.
So I think I have a new low.
Well, I don't think Spawn wasn't offensive. It was just not that great.
Yeah, Spawn was just terrible. Terrible comic. But at least it wasn't offensive. This was terrible and offensive. So 0.5. And I don't know if I gave Spawn a straight up 0. But in retrospect, I will bump Spawn up to a 0.5, so they will be on par. How about you, David?
Okay, man. I will also give this a 0.5. This comic was completely insane, and not in a good way. Like Batman Odyssey, for example. Or Next Wave.
Next Wave is the best kind of insane.
Yeah, and so was Batman Odyssey. Batman Odyssey was fun to read.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the ride, the journey that comic takes you on. This one, I fell asleep reading this comic. That almost never happens.
Oh, God.
And it's just, like you said, I mean, what can I say that hasn't already been said to justify the 0.5? It was just offensive. On a social level, I was offended as a comic book fan by some of these redesigns. I mean, I put it in the notes, but didn't bring it up. The Robin has knuckle dragging, like,
oh yeah,
Popeye arms.
Yeah.
Not to mention he's like some kind of shapeshifter now, or the fact that Batman decapitates his ex-sidekick.
I think this was genetic engineering, and he's not really the man that he used to be, kind of a thing. Like, that's kind of how they tried to write it off.
Have you ever seen the Batman Beyond movie, The Return of the Joker?
Yes.
In which the Joker turns out to be Tim Drake?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, people haven't watched it. Sorry, Jen, if you haven't watched it.
I've seen that one.
Okay, good. Sorry, listeners. If you haven't seen it.
It's still enjoyable. Go watch it anyway.
That is almost the same thing. You know, sidekick turn, Joker turns out to be an ex-sidekick. But that was a really good story. This is just dumb. So, yeah. 0.5. Jen, go ahead.
Oh, man. Also a 0.5.
Ooh, unanimous!
Yeah, go us. I rarely walk away in a fit of rage from material that I am reading. If it happens, it's because it is hateful and wrong. And I feel like Frank Miller wrote this with hate in his heart. Like, to put it in, like, those... I don't know even what terms, but... Oh, man. Like, there were some moments where you... where something, like, shined through a little bit. And I gotta say, like... even despite that, this was just so unpleasant. And it hurts to have to read something like this, because then you see why people are so mad at comics.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff we read normally, I think this is great. People should read comics. They'd get educated about the medium, and they'd understand that this is an accessible medium to all sorts of people, whoever you are, and that, you know, you can find a comic that you really like and appreciate. And this brings down, like, a lot of other comics, even though it's completely unrelated, just for the fact that it's filled with this blatant sexism and, like, strange, you know, political sentiments that come through. I don't know if there was racism. There might have been. It just... comics should be fun and enjoyable and accessible. And this was not that. So, 0.5.
You say you don't know if there was racism or not. I will say that there was, I don't want to say backhanded, under the table. I don't know. He never said anything vitriolic about any of the races. But I noticed while I was reading this, because there was one little, like, TV frame where there was a black person saying something. And at that moment I realized that every single other character in this comic book, other than that one little guy in the TV frame, is a white male or a white woman.
Huh.
Every single character.
Okay, add racism to the list. It's not as bad as the sex. Well, okay, that's arguable, but just.
And the sexism is overt.
Oh yeah.
All right, and if this is covert, it might be as bad, but it's there. I think
that's a good way to put it. But man, like, comics should be friendly, even if they're dark or unhappy or have bad endings. They should be friendly, and this was not friendly.
Okay, so which was worse, this or Spawn?
Oh, this. This was way worse.
Yeah.
This or Rise and Fall?
This.
This.
Really?
Rise and Fall was just a poorly constructed story.
Dead cocaine cat in the alleyway is better than this?
Yeah. This was mean. Ooh. This was a mean comic.
I feel like we can laugh about Dead Cocaine Cat.
I can laugh about it because I remember. Like, right shortly after that came out, there was somebody who went to Comic-Con with a sketchbook and had everybody draw sketches of that scene. That sketchbook, I wish I could find a page with that again, because that sketchbook was just fucking phenomenal. What about this and the Celebrity Blue Water comics?
Those were, like, kind of funny, at least. So this...
something redeeming.
You know, I'm going to posit that unless we pick up Holy Terror, which was Frank Miller's highly reviled comic that's basically a racist rant against people from the Middle East, that we're not going to find something more offensive or unlikable than this comic.
I will say that I own issue one of that, and it is... it's about as bad as you expect it to be. It's everything that it's supposed to be.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, I can't think of much worse than this that I've read before. Yeah. So, hopefully we can recover this. So it's unanimous, right? Morrison or Miller?
Morrison!
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No doubt about it.
Okay. I mean, Dark Knight Returns was great, had its moments.
Yeah.
I think that is an excellent comic book.
Absolutely.
And this just torpedoes it.
And Frank Miller has written some awesome stuff.
Yeah.
This is not one of those.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to move on, and we're going to read a series of comics based on video games. This isn't something we've done before in the show, and I'm actually kind of excited. Because, you know, sometimes they're supposed to be really good. Like, I hear wonderful things about the World of Warcraft comic book, which is written by Walt Simonson, who also coincidentally wrote one of the highest rated comics we have ever read when he did his old Thor run, you know?
There was a while there when World of Warcraft was on my pull list.
Yeah.
And it's good.
This is legitimately a good comic.
It's a very enjoyable comic.
Yeah. And then on the other end of the spectrum, there's Injustice Gods Among Us, which is based on a DC video game, like a fighting game. And this is supposed to be crazy balls bad. not like this bad, like Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Or like Rise and Fall bad.
Yeah, like Rise and Fall bad, or like Batman Odyssey bad. Just crazy, okay. Insane bad in a kind of entertaining sort of way. But first, before those two, we're going to read Mass Effect, just because I've been crazy into Mass Effect lately, and I want to read it, so we're all going to read it.
And I'm going to have an interesting perspective because I've never played those video games.
Yes.
And this is my favorite video game.
And you know, I do want to bring that up because that's something I want to talk about, is barrier to entry for these comics. And maybe the idea of writing these is too niche, or they need to be marketed differently, because some of these could be amazing. Like, World of Warcraft, written by Walt Simonson, could be amazing, but there are tons and tons of people who will never, ever read it because it says World of Warcraft on the front. And we need to talk about whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, and if it's accessible to somebody who has never read World of Warcraft, or somebody who's never played Mass Effect. So first we're going to read Mass Effect Redemption is the name of the trade. It's a collects of 4-issue miniseries written by Mac Walters and John Jackson Miller with art by Omar Francia. Then after that we're going to read the World of Warcraft Volume 1, collects issues 0 to 7 by Walt Simonson and Ludo Lullaby. And then we're going to wrap up with Injustice Gods Among Us, written by Tom Taylor and illustrated by Jeremy Rapek.
I just got to say that Injustice Gods Among Us, I haven't read it yet, but I've looked into it, and there's a great panel. One of my favorite panels in all of comics is shared by Green Arrow and Harley Quinn.
All right. I'm looking forward to this. So, yeah, Injustice Gods Among Us, there's not a collected trade out yet. So we're just going to read the first 6 issues, because when we went to Comixology and looked it up, apparently like every 3 issues has a different cover on Comixology. So I'm just going to, we're kind of working with the assumption that the first 6 will be kind of a cohesive story. We could be right, we could be wrong. Either way, they're only $1 on Comixology. So it's going to be like $6 for this, which is like half the price of what a trade would be anyway. So if we fuck up and it's actually 7 issues, just buy the last one, whatever. I don't know. We'll buy the last one. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see when we get there. So that's what's coming up in the next 3 weeks. If I burn through that too fast, if you're like sitting there with a notepad trying to write down too quick, don't worry about it. Just go to AtomicPoweredSupercast.com, and on the right there's a button that says Future Shows. Click on that bad boy. There will be pictures of the comics we're reading, little links underneath them to the sources that we mentioned, showing you exactly what trade we're going to buy, exactly what we're going to read, and it makes it really, really easy. If you ever got a recommendation for a series coming up after this, say you want us to read more Teen Titans, even though it's just a series. Or say you want us to read Legion of Superheroes, which, God, I hope you don't, because I really don't like them. But hey, maybe you want us to. Whatever. Send us an email and let us know at
AtomicPoweredSupercast@gmail.com.
Also, you can let us know on the social media stuff, Facebook.com/APSupercast, Twitter.com/APSupercast, and APSupercast.tumblr.com. Which I'm laughing about because I still haven't added David as an admin.
Yes.
I will do that, sometime this week. and as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Till next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Fuck jazz hands. I did it again.
Do you guys remember how my cat disappeared, like, a year ago?
Yes.
He turned up on Friday in a shelter in San Francisco.
Wow.
Holy crap. Yeah,
I got him home today. He's, like, really happy.
That's crazy.
He had a collar on him, and he looked healthy. He was, like, he's really skinny relative to what he used to be, but he's, like, healthy. So, yeah, like, how the hell did he get to San Francisco is the big mystery.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. Did he walk?
I have a theory that a neighbor... Well, he never kept a collar on. Like, he'd always get them off somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory that we had a neighbor who, like, didn't understand that just because a cat isn't collared doesn't mean that it's stray. And either gave him to a friend or, like, took him and moved. So, crazy. Like, I don't even know how this happened, though. But it's really cool.
Was he microchipped? Is that how they found him?
Yes.
Okay.
It was weird too, because they like, I asked for all the details and they couldn't give me all of it. But he was found wearing a collar, and they called that number first. And when they read me the log, they were like, the woman sounded really disinterested and said she'd come in sometime today or tomorrow and then never showed up. So they checked him for a chip and found me. And then I guess she did come in and try to get the cat, but got really upset when they wouldn't give it to her.
Weird.
Yeah, it was so strange.